So, if I'm honest with you, I'm not particularly going to be as intellectual or as CSR focused or as insightful as the previous speakers, but I might try and bring out one or two aspects about what we found on that. I'm going to talk about as much as I can from a pragmatic point of view of our experience in this social media space, how it fits into customer service, and what's gone right and what we've learned, and maybe one or two things that have gone wrong as well. So my experience of social media really falls into two parts. The first is gaming. I'm not going to talk about much of this, but I might come back to it. I'm quite a big gamer. I like online gaming. I actually think probably the most interesting part of social is in the gaming world. And if you want to see where social's going, spend some time either with your kids or otherwise looking at Club Penguin or Moshi Monsters, because I think they use it in a completely different way than the rest of us do. But I won't touch on that now. But the other experience I have of social is I'm not, if I'm honest, a huge tweeter or poster. If you choose to follow me, you're very welcome to. You won't find I tweet that often. I watch a lot. I'm a bit of a voyeur, really, but I don't do a lot. But I receive quite a lot. But what I receive is perhaps not the norm, because when you run a big customer service organization in the modern world, particularly one with a brand like BT and the odd foible, and I'm sure there's some BT customers in the audience, so I won't need to explain that to you. My experience is that actually, and it happened today, on average, I probably get two or three tweets a day. They're normally complaints, and my customers telling me they're not happy. LinkedIn, I agree, big environment for CVs. Actually, I receive complaints on it. LinkedIn contacted me because they'd never seen it used as a complaint channel before. So that's another way that we get it. My Facebook page, I get complaints on. And the interesting one, which I don't get directly, but it's always fascinated me and came through a slightly random conversation with Google once. They were showing us, for some strange reason, we were visiting Google as a leadership team, and they decided to tell us about Google Earth. And I didn't have the heart to say, I'd come across it. But actually, they went to BT Tower, and on BT Tower, you know the bit where you put your pictures and how fantastic it was to see the Eiffel Tower? BT Tower, complaints. So wherever you go in my kind of job, and it is the nature of the job, but my experience of social is actually it is an incredibly valuable channel to communicate with customers when you're in a service environment. And my view is you either step away from it or you step towards it. If you step away from it, I just think it's rude, if I'm perfectly honest. And I've been reasonably provocative in more service-oriented talks that I've given, that actually I think not responding to a customer on social is not like not answering a call or responding to an email. But it does throw up some different experiences. So I want to mainly talk about community, but let me give you a little bit of history of how we got into social. So 3 years ago, I was in a slightly different role in customer service in BT, and I was given three responsibilities: how we were going to transform customer service, how we would drive online, and how we would sort out complaints. And there were reasonably three distinct pieces of work that I was looking at, except that very quickly the complaints one and the online one came together, and it became pretty obvious that we better have a social strategy. And that was because we started to pick up the people who were complaining about us on the internet. And then one day we were monitoring this, and we were vaguely aware of Twitter 3 years ago, beginning to get going, you know, a few interesting stories about what was happening in the political space. And I think then there was that plane that kind of landed on the Hudson. That was all kind of on Twitter and that. But not a lot, perhaps, happening in the customer space at that time. And then a guy called Mike Skinner, otherwise known as The Streets, who actually at that time already had 20-odd thousand followers. He has an awful lot more now. We were monitoring, looking at complaints, using just Google to search out complaints. And he decided to tweet, "I hate BT Vision." We didn't think this was a very good thing. So we sat staring at it for a while. My colleague and mine, and we kind of thought, bugger, because we'd just been watching this up to now, and we thought, well, we better respond, really. So we rapidly set up a Twitter ID. It was in Graham Stoker, who was a guy who helped me set this up originally within BT, and we tweeted him and said, "Sorry to hear that, can we help?" Now, in fact, the words "can we help" have probably become the mainstay of everything we do in social, and I'll come on to that a little bit later. And actually, he responded. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we resolved his issue. And then something really, really important happened. And I actually think most people know this now. 3 years ago, we didn't. 2 days later, he said, "Thank you, I love BT Vision, I'm paraphrasing. And we kind of sat there and thought, ooh, this is quite interesting, because he didn't like it and we responded and we did something and now everyone knows he liked it. And really it's this same conversation we're coming to later in terms of, it's that pub conversation, but it's that pub conversation amplified. But this was our journey 3 years ago. So I want to talk about three communities that I think are essential. I'll just throw these out. You can Google them. Of course, that's the great thing about Google. I was interested in the academic research on community and social. I think it goes back a bit further, some of those references. So if you Google Gemeinschaft and Gesellschaft, you'll see some very interesting stuff about from around 1910 and 15 around community that I think is incredibly relevant to social. But to be honest, I'm not going to talk about that now, but I'm sure Anne knows what I'm talking about. But actually go back and have a look at that, because I think it is extremely relevant. The first community I want to talk about is your customer community. And we've never, I don't say this expecting applause because I don't think we realized it at the time, but we've never gone on the journey of chasing followers or likes. We've had the conversations internally. Now and again, I've sat there, you know, when I'm trying to explain social to some of my senior colleagues, and they've said, well, you only seem to have 60,000 people on Twitter. Why do O2 have X? We've never gone down that journey. And actually, one of the early things I think we have found is you don't need a huge community to be really impactful. I'll give a little example recently. We have, if I switch over to BT Care, and I need to be careful here because there's some guys in the audience who really know what they're talking about because they run this day in, day out for me. But actually, if you look at this, we don't have a huge number of followers on BT Care. It is run out of Enniskillen in Northern Ireland, where we do have around about 20 people between Enniskillen and Derry. And we don't have a huge number of followers. We're following a reasonable number of people. We've tweeted quite a lot. Actually, we do tweet quite a lot. The interesting thing is that, of course, this is an engine to amplify. We had a really interesting one. On the other side of my job, I manage all of the centres that take 999 calls and then manage those through to the police and the ambulance, etc. And a few weeks ago, in the middle of the riots, we were getting absolutely hammered with calls. And the emergency authorities, as I think is well publicised, couldn't cope. So that meant we didn't have anyone to transfer the calls through. So we took a decision. We tweeted out, using BT Care and some of our other pieces, using Tweeting Spare, that actually, could anyone who was calling 999 and it wasn't an emergency, please think. I can't remember the exact language we used, but roughly speaking, that's what we said. The calls dropped within 20 minutes and allowed us to cope. Why? Because this group retweeted. And this group have got hundreds, sometimes 10, sometimes 20, maybe thousands. Philip Schofield's got a little bit more, and we've picked up the odd celebrity, which is always helpful. But the calls dropped. And the only thing we had done, because we were having a bit of challenge getting various police authorities to help us at the time, we've done, and the calls dropped. So the whole one of the things, and this was a really recent example of it, just says you do not need a lot of people in your customer community to have a quite significant impact. Possibly the best example of that, and I was really interested in what Anne was saying because I really agree about needing your own community, is the community we spend the most time, and our primary moderator is in the audience, but the reason we spend the most time on actually is our own community, is actually our BT forum. And I don't know how many of you have forums. People tend to focus on what's happening on Twitter or Facebook. YouTube's quite important to us. We're on YouTube as well, and video's definitely increasing as a forum of social. But actually, the group that's most important to us is the community, because this is our community, and we spend a lot of time building confidence of our super users in the community. If I remember rightly, correct me if I go wrong, is, you know, we've got a user who spends 40 hours a week helping customers. I'll show you something. That's more hours than my advisors work in a week helping customers. So we've got somebody we don't pay, they don't get anything from this, they get a nice little badge and name, and they're really important to us, who spends more time a week helping our customers than an individual advisor will do in a week. Why do they do that? Well, actually, of course, it comes back, and I won't go through it, but incredibly good research around gaming dynamics, reward doesn't have to be monetary, that if you care for that community, you reach out to that community, that you look after them and involve them, actually, that will pay back hugely. One of the things that we did a short while ago, and I use this example because at the time I thought maybe we were being a bit mad, but it worked, and I do advise people in the social space on customer service to be brave, is that we had a big problem in Scotland. I'll go in short. Basically, we cut a lot of people off broadband, so reasonably important. And it took a while to fix it, and they weren't very happy. So, and they were really kind of hammering us. So I went on to the community. I don't do it very often. It drives moderators absolutely mad when suddenly I'm commenting on the community. But actually, I commented and said sorry. And the end result was we then did a chat online with that community. They've stayed with us. They absolutely loved that personal piece. And it was quite animated to start with. But the more we were honest and open with them and really explained what happened, the more they responded in a completely different way. So the reason I totally agree that your own community is this it. But the interesting thing about this community, the most important thing about this community is not to interfere too much. Because it's about customer helping customer. Not dissimilar, I think, to the pimp your cause kind of piece. It's about one group helping another. And that's what customers love. So, and actually, when we interfere too much, they stop. They wait for us to answer. So actually, the biggest lesson is you have to step back. And that's the same in the Twitter environment. We regularly get people. We're pretty fast on Twitter. We got faster. We try and respond. Well, I like us to respond within 30 minutes. We generally respond within about 60 minutes. Often, somebody else will have already seen and directed them to BT Care. So actually, one of the most interesting things to me about social and the community you build around the customer is actually the customer community and how you care for it. And the guys here can share a little bit more about that, but I'm conscious. The second community that I think is really important, and I'm incredibly proud of them and what they do day in, day out, and I thought I'd just show their picture. And this is one of them. Is this the guys in Derry? Yeah, so this is the team in Derry. There's another team. We took their picture. These are incredibly valuable. This is the BT Care team. And the BT Care and what we do in our community from a service point of view splits essentially into two parts, this one group. We have a group of advisors, one group in Derry, one group in Enniskillen. Long story about why they're in Northern Ireland. I'm not going to tell you it now, but it's lovely that they are. And they do a really good job for us. And these are the guys who day in, day out, effectively get a feed through. We have an internal tool, not actually, to be honest, nearly as advanced, but an internal tool. There weren't many tools 3 years ago when we started this. And fortunately, being BT, we built our own called DebateScape. And it searches, and again, some of the same challenges. Very, very annoying when people use BT, meaning but, or Bluetooth, and an incredibly irritating musician in the US who's called BT. But other than that, when we'd managed to extract all of that out, and we were really focused, basically we have a stream, and it sends the stream down, and it allows these guys to respond. And what do we say? Generally, often the word sorry comes into it somewhere, but it also, can we help? And one of the things we found in social is you can't push. You just got to ask. You just got to be gentle. Because actually, some people don't like, you know, when you're I hate my BT broadband. I guess these days people, we're a little bit more known. People kind of certainly will know it's a way of contacting us. But quite often, certainly the early days, it was a bit of a shock when you got that. So actually, this community is really important. The reason I describe it as a community is that we have to train them quite carefully. The language they use is not corporate language. I was going back to gaming. Actually, one of the things that we ask the guys to do when we're doing this is, if they're obviously dealing with a gamer who's complaining they can't game, we'll often ask their gamer tag and respond to them their gamer tag. For those of you who do gaming, the gamer tag, mine is also Wazza, so that's why it's the same. But actually, it's really important. In gaming land, I'm not Warren Buckley, MD of customer service. I've got my own community, and I'm Wazza, and that's what people know me as. So they associate, the language we use. We don't use, we're sorry for the inconvenience. You know, it doesn't work in this kind of world. So you have to train this community to work differently. Many of them actually will search and keep going out of hours. They have to be committed. The very first person, and unfortunately we built the team in a different place, the very, very first person we had in the BT Care team was a guy up in Newcastle who we found because he was tweeting out about BT, and we thought, if he's tweeting, we'll go to him. So this is a community we take a lot of care of. The other side of the community, and BM's here, Kerry's here, Jackie's here, is actually our community that looks after this community, the BT Forum and that environment, that support the development of what we're doing. But this is a group, overall, we have, I think, about 22, 23 people now, full-time, on managing either directly dealing with customers through Twitter, through Facebook, through our own forum, or effectively managing the pro that goes around that. My challenge will be, and I don't know who's here from big companies, or even some of you may consult with or talk to big companies, is anyone who has a big customer service organization can make the choice to do this. And if they tell you they can't, they're lying. It's just a choice. I've got 8,000 people who work for me, so if I can't choose to put 23 on them, who can? It's an easy decision. We started with 3 or 4, and you grow the business. But this is an incredibly important community. If you're going to do this, if you're going to react, and I suspect it's true, I'm not, and I'm sorry if there's any agencies in the room, there's lots of apologies. I'm not a big fan of outsourcing this function. Maybe for marketing and other environments, but I'm not a big fan of it. I think you need to create this. It has to be right at the heart of the organization. One thing I will say about what we've seen on BT Care environment is, and Andrew came to this earlier really, about a third now of every of the tweets that we receive are actually what I call first point tweets. They've not been to the call center first, they've not called. When we started, it was all pretty much, they'd already called us once, or 10 times, or 20 times. You know, I have to be realistic in a job like mine. But but actually, about a third now, they tweet us first. And that's great. The other thing I'll pick up before I come to the third community is that I think is really important to understand both about the community and about these social channels, wherever they go over a period of time, and I share some of the same views of, I think, actually, as Andrew, where this develops, is actually the thing I love in the service environment, and I think it's probably true of others, and Andrew was referring it in terms of the media and advertising, is what I love about this is the customer's in charge. So actually what people like me have spent most of my career trying to do is to get people to contact me down the channels I want them to. For most of that 20 years before the internet arrived, that was calling. And then we create these wonderful IVR mechanisms with lovely audible music and also, and we direct people where we want them. The thing I absolutely love about social, but it scares the living daylights out of people like me, people in my job, but I love it, is the fact the customer's in charge when they're working in social. Customer's in charge. You can only choose whether to respond or not to a post or a tweet or an email, whatever it is, or however you get it from. You can only choose how you respond and if you respond. What you can't choose is what route the customer uses. So you kind of have to be across the whole piece. The third community that I personally think is really important, and let's leave. Give me a second. The third community that's really important that you have to build and really develop is actually everyone else around the organization. The funny thing about customer service, and I've spoken to a number of people, you know, social in big corporates, sometimes started in marketing, but actually I've more often discovered it's either started in public affairs and PR or in service. The interesting thing we found, and when I've spoken to other organizations, they found the same, is it's really brought together organizations that traditionally don't get on. So I would actually say our closest partner in everything we do around BT Care is the PR team. And they've had to fundamentally change and adapt to the way they do things. So not gone are the days where they can have a couple of hours working up some finely tuned defensive statement to put out to the press. Because we'll go to them and say, we're going to tweet out something in 10 minutes, we need it now. Oh, and by the way, we'd really like it to be in 140 characters. If you give it in 200, we'll edit it down, but then it's our statement. And then there are other things that they found on. So I come up with mad ideas now and again. We had a fire 15, 18 months ago, really, we had managed to do something unique. We managed to have a fire and a flood in the same building, which just happened to be our exchange in Paddington. So, unfortunately, Thames Water, I'm sure there's nothing from Thames Water, managed to drill through, water floods through into our exchange, hits the power environment, fire and flooding all at the same time. The odd few million customers lose service. So, we thought we'd do something, and we were getting hammered on this. A lot of businesses, and interesting about the Paddington exchange is, it actually serves people all the way down into Devon and Cornwall. I won't go why, but for all sorts of reasons. So we had an awful lot of people. And when you say to me, calling up my call centres, it's because we've got a fire and a flood in Paddington, it definitely sounds like an excuse, to be perfectly honest. It just happened to be true on this occasion. But I come up with a mad idea. So actually we'd picked up that the team we'd sent in there, our engineering team, had taken some photos. So we tweeted it. We tweeted out the photo. And I told the PR team, we're going to do this. And they went with it, because we've had about 18 months of experience, they've got used to it then. phenomenal reaction. One, it got retweeted all over the place. The other thing about it is actually far from when we were saying we believe we'll have service up in 3 or 4 hours, it went from complaints of people saying, we cannot believe you're going to have this back in 3 or 4 hours. How are your engineers going to manage? And then when we did, it was like, that was really impressive. So you just turn it on its head. So your PR team need to be a really tight part of your virtual community when you're going to do this. And you've got to trust them. Another team that's really important to us is marketing. Now, as a general rule, service and marketing don't always get on very well. Because marketing, you know, they sell and prompt all these products that then service has to work out how to make work. So, but actually, it's been a really important relationship. And if I look at the CSR agenda, one of the things that we've really worked together on is one of the nice things about BT is we do lots of things like children in need and comic relief, and telethons is one of the other things that I organise and stuff. We do that. So actually, comic relief this year, we use what has generally been our BT Care brand and that to tweet out comic stories and to encourage people to actually call each other, because that would prompt money that we would give onto the charities like basis. Incredibly popular. People responded really positive to that environment. But a lot of that was how we worked with the marketing team. One of the things that we've managed to do is to make sure that our marketeers, interestingly, don't see this as some huge ad channel. It is a constant discussion. But we don't sell on any of our media. We service. Now, of course, on Facebook, you will see BT adverts. I mean, they just appear. But we don't. And it is about, because this is about a relationship. The last community that I'm going to touch on that you really need to build a close virtual relationship with is the most senior execs in the company. Because they hear about this stuff. But let's be honest, as a general rule, they're not on Twitter or Facebook or those environments. I have a slightly irritating CEO in Ian Livingston. I know he's on because he'll email about things he's seen, but he won't tell me his IDs. So I know he's on. He's a bit of an exception. And now and again, he'll email us and says, have you seen this? And, you know, almost always, of course, we haven't, which is really irritating. But actually, you do have to take the most senior members in your organization with you and build trust and explain and take them through the story. So I think there were three really important communities. I don't know who I've spoken to, but I'm going to stop now. Three really important communities. Your customers, and I actually think what matters is how you build a deep, engaging relationship with a small number of customers and then let them amplify if that's what they want to do. And if they don't have to. But generally our experience, both in the forum and on Twitter, is they amplify. They just love it. And they will take your story all over. The second community is really invest in having the right people who are dealing with your customers from a social media environment. It isn't easy. Not everyone works out, but invest in them. Help them on the language. It is different. But they are brilliant. When they get going, I mean, you know, incredibly proud of that whole community. And third, really build that virtual community around them. And it is a journey. And we're 3 years into this journey. I promise you, every single day we learn something different that we'd have done differently the day before. Or we will do differently going forward. So I hope it's been a journey for us. It's one of probably the more exciting parts of my career than this, and often a lot more exciting with the other stuff that I have to do in my job. But I love social media and what it can do.